Blog Talk Radio.
Another episode of Scatter Chatter. I'm your boy Jess Ray.
Hey, and this is Will 93, and we'd like to thank everyone for hanging out, coming on, supporting us through our times here with Scatter Chatter. And if you have any comments, concerns, any statements that you want to share with us, please do so on the link below. Definitely want to interact with you wonderful people out there. And with that, let's get it started. Or, in some mindsets, let's continue to push the envelope. one of the things we were talking about before show, and one of the purposes I was thinking of this show was the resistance that some people are having towards the social injustices that are going on. These are people who may be as fed up with the protesters, fed up with maybe the message that's being sent out by the protesters, and may like things kind of like where they are in society now. And I thought that was worth sharing some comments and concerns about. And
okay.
Yeah. And that was my vibe for the show today. Of course, this senseless killing of George Floyd has sent shockwaves worldwide, not just in the nation, but worldwide. And there has been this call and this demand for social justice reforms, for how the courts and the district attorneys who operate within the system, we want them to kind of change to show a sense of balance. I don't know if it could be called equality, but maybe a sense of balance of how blacks are treated versus whites, or maybe Asians or Hispanics, Native Americans. There should be a sense of balance, but we haven't seen it, or we haven't seen it in the social media arena. And that was one of my my motivations, my muse, of sorts, to get our show started, right?
Oh, okay.
So, when I talk about an example to the resistance to social injustices, I'm reminded of an elderly white woman who spat on a protester, and she was arrested and brought up on charges for that. The gentleman in Seattle who decides, I'm going to drive my car to a crowd of protesters and then I'm going to shoot one. Maybe the message is too strong for them. And of course, I have the cyclist, because I'm always out there riding my bike. The cyclist who assaulted two people who were hanging Black Lives Matter paraphernalia on poles. And he actually assaulted them and tried to grab the literature from them. When I've just labeled just these three, and I'm pretty sure there are others, I'm kind of reminded of how things used to be and how people felt about how things used to be, right? Kind of alarming to me. Some people would say, you know what, what's right is right is right, and it should be handled correctly. But I don't see that being widespread in these wonderful United States. So I pose the question, what do we do when we're confronted with people who don't like the change that's coming about? How do you interact or negotiate with someone who may not want to negotiate from the very beginning?
I don't think there is room for negotiation. You just have to just make it happen, and then they'll adapt. It's kind of like the internet. Like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people didn't like the internet. Or let's take it even back to like being Neanderthals. Like, I'm pretty sure there were some cavemen that were against fire. They thought it was demon magic or something. And
fire.
You know, they're like, no, let's not do that. And then eventually when they saw fire was good because it made meals and it kept you warm at night, then more people started to adapt to it.
Right.
So that's,
I like that. I like that. Actually, Ray, I love that. That's a wonderful analogy.
It's kind of based upon some of the teachings of Malcolm Gladwell on his book, The Tipping Point, where you have the early adopters and the late acceptors. So the early adopters are like, shit, I need to create something to keep me warm and shit. Let me make this fire, get this cracking. You know what I'm saying? Keep it warm at night. You know, I can have a hot date. Fire was the shit back then. Like, you hunt, and if you made fire, like, you were the man. You know what I'm saying? So... You know what I'm saying? So,
you were the caveman.
Like, people were just like,
you were the caveman.
And then the people that didn't like fire, they're like, I ain't doing that. He on some other shit. I ain't fucking with him. But then they start seeing he was attracting all the girls. Like, yeah, I need to get with this fire business and see what's cracking. You know what I mean?
Right.
So.
Let me see how many twigs I got laying around in the yard.
Yeah, let me see if I get it cracking with these twigs and stuff. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of like that. You're always going to have – the older folks, I hate to say it, are the people that are used to their ways, not used to change. And life, like as we know, life is always about change. There's going to be people that are just going to be against it, and you just have to like go with it. It's just like if those people's kids went off to college, you think they wouldn't be flipping out or something? They'd be like, oh hell no, you're not going to go get that learning on and reading a book. What is that thing with pages and words in it and black ink? We don't do black ink on this side of town.
We don't do black ink on this side of town. I think there's been some role reversals to my wonderful people. I'm normally the jokester out of our duo. But I think we've traded places right now. One option that I could throw out is people who have power are not quite reluctant to give up power.
Mm-hmm.
We had a civil war, a war within the states. Some people here in Tennessee would have called it the War of Northern Aggression. Yeah, I had some folks who told me that the War of Northern Aggression was what it was called. There was a belief system, and it was written in Constitution that all men are created equal, that they're endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. That's life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. However, they never looked at black people that same way. It was never seen by black people to be a part of that equation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, some people can say, oh, well, you're being the angry black man. I could see people saying that. My response is, am I entitled to be angry? Am I entitled to be as angry as any other race of people who are walking the land? When I'm angry. But as I'm talking about this, and I want to look at the topic, resistance the social injustice. Now, Ray, you would suggest that, okay, they just get over it. But what happens when they start to lash out? Because those three examples are examples of people who may not like the change or like the narrative of change or like how the communication of change is coming about. And they're saying, you know what? I'm going to drive my car through this crowd of people. I'm going to stop my daily exercise regimen and attack someone who's trying to spread the message. Or better yet, I'm going to just, you know what? I think I have a right to spit on another human being in protest to that. They're not going to roll over, right?
Yeah.
And that's where I'm worried about that. And on top of that, I'm worried about the reaction. Just imagine the disdain that I would have for a person to spit on them. And then look and imagine what the reaction would be.
Uh-huh.
To all of my listeners out there, I want you to think about that for a second. And then I want you to think what your reaction would be. That's huge. That's a huge moment, right? And so that's where I'm concerned. I'm always big on trying to push the envelope a little bit forward. I mean, let's go back 100 years. 100 years ago, we were still living in a segregated Jim Crow society.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go back 200 years. We had slavery. So, I mean, and it would be weird, like, okay, change can only happen every 100 years. Okay, that wheel is just really, really squeaky. But I don't know, my brother. I'm kind of concerned on how I would handle being spat on.
I don't know. You might have to, like, put them hands to work, bro.
Yeah, man. I mean,
you might have to forget age and all that. Be like, oh, hell no. What the fuck? Excuse
yeah,
my French,
no.
But I think that's just what it comes down to.
I mean, and keep in mind, we're still in a pandemic.
Right.
The cooties is still out there, right? What if that woman had the cooties?
Yeah. Some people forgot. The package is still around.
The package is still out there, man.
Yeah. And by the way, while we're speaking of Jim Crow, there's a great book that one of my friends, a litigator, referred me to, Worse Than Slavery, Parchment Farm and the Ordeal of Jim Crow Justice. It's a great read. She said to read it and tell you about what's going on nowadays, and it's actually a sad read. It's called Worse Than Slavery.
Yeah.
If you guys are interested,
I think it's David. I think the author is David something. Please don't let me destroy that person's last name. But I've read that book.
Okay.
It's intense. Gosh. I think the guy was Polish, my brother. David something. I wish I had that. You surprised me on that one. Good read, though.
Okay.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. I would second that. But this is a very intense time. Feelings are out there, man. Emotions are rising high. Can you imagine just, mm-hmm. you know, I'm out there on a protest line. I'm speaking against social injustices. I have my son out. I might have my kids out with me. It's hot.
Yeah, but here's the thing. They are posting stuff all over social media, right? So let's give a consideration to this. Like, there was a video that actually demonstrated how China protested, and I don't think we're taking a full on lessons on how they're protesting and how they were able to be organized. Like, we're not very organized in what we're doing. Like, people are just randomly taking their kids outside, knowing that there's COVID and shit, and people are just randomly outside, no mask. Like, you got to be organized on how you do things so people aren't, like, injured and, you know, you're watching your backs and, you know, people get to go home safely. Instead, you know, people are, like, treating it like it's Party Central. You can't really do things like that. And I hate to be the one to say that. You know, I want people to, like, go out there and demonstrate and exercise their freedom of speech stuff. But at the same time, you got to watch your six, too, because, you know, not everybody has your same interests at heart.
Yeah, okay. And the Chinese had a little bit of, you know, time to work about it. Keeping in mind, what is it, about 31 years ago they had Tiananmen Square, where the government said, you know what, I don't care about your rights. I don't care about what you're feeling right now. Open fire. And they fired upon the crowd. So, yeah, I guess, you know, if I had to take if I had to take the lead from someone, yeah, that's a dark time in Chinese history, man. I don't even think they teach that in the history books there. But I will side with what you're speaking on, having a game plan towards protests. Like, share your 3-point or 5-point or 10-point, how many points you have of what you're trying to achieve. At least that way, if I'm out on watching CNN or someone's watching Fox or Newsy or NPR, they can say, okay, well, this group is seeking these things, and then let it come back to legislation to say, all right, I see your point. Let's talk about that. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah.
I think it does. And it's not harsh. You know, I think a sit-down conversation and say, okay, Ray, if we agree to disagree, I could give you my 3 points. And then you may have something and say, okay, here are my 3 points. And, all right, well, can we take each other's points and kind of morph them into at least 3 or 4 points that we could use moving forward? I think so. It makes sense to me. It makes sense. Mm-hmm. Makes all the sense in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But as I look to that, again, we have some people out there that are not necessarily wanting to change.
Right.
We're not even at the negotiation table.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, if you're going to ignore how I feel, I am going to do something physical to you. Like the guy who was out in L.A. with the bow and arrow, bro. What was up with that? What was going on in your mind?
He was a super Game of Thrones fan. That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah, man. Game of Thrones. He must have had the – I didn't see the Game of Thrones T-shirt on him. But I believe you may have something onto that.
I would say is just I'm wondering, did somebody, like, see him, like, coming? You can't just be having a crossbow or a bow and arrow just out in public. Like, it's not the zombie apocalypse.
No, I mean, well,
yeah.
he was standing by his car. I want to give him some help onto that, some clarity. He was like, let me get out of my car right here, and I have my bow and arrow. I'm about to get my Game of Thrones on right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like the proverbial bring in a gun to an, I mean, bringing a knife to a gunfight. I was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Okay. Now, there's another piece of that. And I recall myself sending out messages to about maybe about 35 friends. And most of those 35, Ray, believe it or not, shared your sentiment. Like, we just gonna roll right past them. I'm like,
is that the
how?
The demonstration or what?
No, I'm talking about their feelings towards people who have a resistance to the social injustices and think
yeah.
that the status quo is okay.
Yeah, it's like, it's kind of like, what was that? I forget what movie that was. State Property, Benny Single. He was like, you know, lay down or get down.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it's going.
Yeah.
I mean, if enough people are behind it, it's going to happen anyway. It's just, it's kind of like the same situation with the voting thing. Like, everyone's like, get out there and vote. But, you know, a mass majority of people are just like, even if I vote, like, what's the difference, right? To some degree. Some people
yeah.
are like that. So, same thing with the people that are like, you know, resisting things. It's just like, you know, either way, like, you know, you can fight it all you want. Like, but what were you doing before that? You probably weren't doing nothing anyway.
Yeah,
it's
kind of
like
that
the people
sense.
That, like, sit back and watch. Those are probably the people that sat back and watched. And then all of a sudden they're just like, oh, at the last minute, oh, man, what's going on?
Yeah.
And then they just go back to who they were. They just get excited, you know. That's kind of like how emotions are. People react, and then they go back to normal.
Do you think with the protests and the unrest that's going on now, do you see things kind of falling back to, I don't know, old school normalcy? Or do you see the envelope being pushed a little further this time?
Well, me personally, like, I'm seeing, like, I don't know, I'm not out there, right? But I do see what's going on as far as, like, they're talking about police reform and changing the policies in different departments across the nation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
now it's kind of just up to us now, like, as far as, like, education, as far as, like, who's in the office, like even here in L.A., like, the big thing right now is Jackie Lacey, the DA, and what they're going to do with her. And I'm pretty sure a lot of, like, people didn't even know who she was or what she did. So, you know, just educating each other on who to run, who to vote for, and why we should vote for them, or what we can do if they do come into power. I don't know if I should even use the word, if they do come into office or whatnot.
Now, Jackie Lacey, that's your that's the LA County district attorney.
Yeah. Yeah.
She was just recently in the news a couple of months ago. If I'm not mistaken, I think some protesters came out to her house, and I think her
mm-hmm.
husband was like, showed a gun or brandished a gun to the protesters. It was like Black Lives Matter were in that as well. I guess it's difficult to say it's racism because she is black, but I wonder how that is going to play out. I wonder if she is willing to seek the reforms within the police department, could that negate the things that they were protesting about in passing? I'm not quite
mm-hmm.
sure. You know, even though I'm in Nashville, Tennessee, I still have love and my heart is in Los Angeles, and you just want to keep up with what's going on in that city. And I think places like Atlanta, Chicago, New York City, Los Angeles, they become the litmus test for a lot of things that are moving on in society. So
yeah,
those
always.
Are things I kind of pay attention to. Yeah, always big.
Yeah.
Always big.
Because those are, I think those are like, what do you, I think what they call them, like the, when you're doing marketing and stuff, those are like the major markets. So whatever
yes.
they're doing, that's what the,
yes.
that's what either the rest of the country is doing, or I think sometimes the world is doing, I think.
Yes. I definitely know within the nation, when there were things that I was doing in the music industry, when we were trying to push a certain target or a certain kind of agenda for an artist, we tried those bigger cities on a as far as a national campaign was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, all the other cities like Birmingham or Memphis or Tulsa, Phoenix, those were also good places to try something. But when you're looking something at mega level, yeah, Atlanta,
yeah.
New York, Chicago,
Atlanta.
Los Angeles.
Detroit.
Yes.
No, not Detroit.
Detroit went through a huge overhaul. I mean, it got to a point where Detroit was at almost 50% unemployment rate.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was tough. It was real. And that wasn't
That's
long
rough.
Ago. We're talking about within the last 5 years.
Wow.
But definitely a city that I would look at as far as my second tier of activity is going on. Yeah, you still want to keep them in Detroit, D.C., Miami, San Francisco would probably be another city that I would start to look at for my second tier. But I guess we can say change is coming.
Yeah,
let's hope. I think change is definitely coming. And then as we embrace for that impact, we also still have to wonder whether or not people are going to accept it.
Yeah.
And
then the whole defunding the police, and how are those funds going to be reallocated to different branches of the government, if that? And hopefully that funding goes back into education and healthcare. I think that's a proper way to allocate it.
If I'm a mayor of a city, I would put that towards maybe like a community review board. If I had to take a defunding. And like I said, and defunding is basically making smaller the roles and responsibilities of a police department or an enforcement agency. It's not just taking away of money. But for example, if a police officer is called out to a scene where there is a mental health issue that's going on, well, maybe the police department might not be equipped for that. So we might say, okay, let's make sure that we have a designated officer from, you know, Health and Human Services come out to investigate that particular situation. Something as crazy as a cat, you know, getting loose and being stuck in a tree. Well, maybe that might not be the police department's role and responsibility.
Right.
That may fall upon someone else. That is one of the things that I would start to kind of look at, right?
I'm wondering if maybe even if they might reallocate it towards the mental, like county mental health and like I was saying, education. I can't think of anything else. But one scary thought is, like, now that we have AI, are we going to be putting money into AI law enforcement? Because the labor is cheap. They don't complain about anything.
There was a piece of technology where there was a piece of technology and it was attached to a police car. So let's say, for instance, you were being pulled over for a speeding infraction. There's this robotic arm that would extend out to the police car and it would go directly upon the other vehicle. And then there would be a camera, like a screen, that would show the police officer, and the police officer never gets out of his or her car. And then there's a tray where the driver would put in the driver's license and the registration or insurance, and then they would retract back to the police car. The police officer would take it, and either it's going to issue out a ticket or whatever, or just let them off with a warning, but the police officer never got out of the car. I thought it was an amazing piece of technology. I don't know which police departments were willing to accept that.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're trying to eliminate the fear, police anxiety towards the potential driver, and the driver's anxiety towards being pulled over by police, well, maybe that might be an option.
Okay.
Since you brought up the idea of AI, it's not necessarily AI, but it is AI-ish. But who knows?
We'll start building RoboCops.
right. And it's like all of these movies that came out in the past. It's like, is it the way of the future now?
Yeah.
You know, people looking at the imaginations of those things and saying, ah, we can do that. So
back to the resistance of the social injustice, I just believe that the people, you know, like I said, it's just an emotional outburst for them not wanting to change and just liking things how they were, but not necessarily knowing what they are.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's like we're all grown children. You know, some of us more so than others. So they, like, start doing just crazy stuff. Like, you got the FedEx guy that was mocking the George Floyd incident in front of his front yard. And then he got suspended. And then you got the 75-year-old, the guy, apparently he was like some whatever inside agent thing or whatever. But he got knocked out and, you know, got a concussion. He had blood coming out of his ear and stuff like that. You know, but he wasn't 75 years old. You got to knock him. He old. Like, you got to really knock him down. You ain't got to do that to Papa. You ain't got to do that to him. You know?
No, not to Papa.
You know what I'm saying? You just tell him, like, hey, man, just back off. Just, you know, might want to back off. It's not good for you. It's not a good. This ain't good for you, bro. You might not want to do that. You ain't got to knock him down and, like, you know, hurt him to where he almost dies. That's not cool.
Dude, I saw that video. I was like, whoa.
Yeah. And then, you know, you mentioned the people just driving into people, like, when did that happen? Like, when did that become a thing to do? Like, that's what's hot in the streets? Like, that's what we're doing? Let's run some people over.
Well,
Death Ring 2000, some folks. That's what we're doing. David Carradine.
Well,
that's...
well,
20,000 points per person. Like, what? Really?
Did you just put points on it? Man.
What are we doing? That's crazy. Why? When was that okay? You know, and what are you getting from it? Where are we getting from these things, from doing this stuff? Nothing.
Well.
Because then somebody's got to go to jail. Somebody's got to find a lawyer. Then it just becomes expensive. expensive, stupid mistakes because you decide to get emotional, as opposed to using your brain and being like, yo, I got to figure out, like, how to work this new situation that we got here or whatever.
I know, bro.
That's
I find it intense.
Like,
I find it very, very intense. The guy in Seattle that reminds me of the guy a couple of years ago where there was a protest. And the woman was ran over and killed. I don't know. Heather Heiger. That was huge. Like, I'm going to drive my car into a protest. Wait, I also want to let you know, when you look at that situation, the gentleman who was captured doing that, the police didn't fire guns at him. He was taken into custody without a shot being fired.
Yeah.
Just to let you know how unbalanced that is.
Yeah, just equal treatment of people, and it's so complicated. It's like a Pandora's box of like things. That's why I think a lot of people don't want to, like, get involved, because it causes, like, this really weird level of cognitive dissonance. It's just like, I don't know, like, once you find this out, then this is that. And then you get so wrapped up in it, you're just like, damn, what do I do? What do I do in all this?
My response to that is voicing opinion. It also requires for us to listen to other opinions. When I made a post, about Candace Owens a couple of days ago.
Oh, yeah. There's that talking.
You're right. And bro, there were a lot of people who were on board with what I said. There were some people who were saying, well, why are you even giving her breath? And I said that in my original statement. It's not that I'm raising her up to be this, this voice of black people or some black people. It was just that I wanted to expose what her angle is. And
right.
So many times we get caught up in our emotional side to a situation and you turn everything else off. If whatever you're thinking or whatever it is you believe in, you turn it off, well, we're just as bad as the next person.
Right. So just think, take a non-biased view. That's how a lot of things need to be taught. Take a non-biased view of looking at all the data, right? And then look at the pros and cons of everything and then make a better decision based upon that. Don't just make a snap decision because of the first thing you hear. That's
right.
How they get anybody anywhere. And no one wins. And
No one.
It feels like, yeah, no one wins. Everybody loses, as opposed to us finding like mutual compromises and sides where we can work together in certain areas, because we're not going to agree on everything. Let's just, like, get that out the way. We're not going to agree on everything, but we can find points in which we can come to some type of, like, agreeance upon, you know? And maybe those are the bigger issues versus, like, the little things. Like, you know, somebody may not like you because, you fold trash bags wrong, but you're a good person, so... God just cut you out because of whatever, right? You're a good person,
right.
But are you willing to work with me?
Right. Folding trash bags. Oh my God. Reversal.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, people just got like, you know, don't think of things on the, like, you know, the micro level. Like when I think that's the that's a lot of the problems. Even like even now, like after the internet, like we become the what is that phrase that a lot of the comedians and people are saying? It's the snap society or the cutoff society. Like as soon as you hear something, you just like no, as opposed to like looking at the whole picture and then making the decision. So we just slow down, like just slow down and just think, consider what's going on first, and then make a decision.
Right.
It, I think that things would be like, you know, it'd be a lot smoother and a lot different. But you know, that's just me.
I agree.
I'm just one guy. I'm one dude.
Well,
and that's you know,
I agree with you too. So it's two of us.
Yeah, I know, but I'm not saying like people should like cut off their emotions or anything like that. But I'm saying it's just like just. Reel it in a little bit first. Listen,
mm-hmm.
and then based upon your experiences, measure it out, and then you know come back with some with a counterpoint, and then you know figure out what y'all need to do next. Some type of mutual compromise, if that person is worth it. If not, then
right.
you know go on about your business.
Go on about your business. Go on about your business.
Go on about your business.
Keep it moving. Keep it moving. And I agree, bro. But I think we're probably more level-headed than most, which is kind of our gift, per se. We tend to see things in a much more rational light than most, and I think that is what is advantageous to us. And that's just being, you know, will not being just right.
But
we hope that others take our model.
But I hope that it's not because of, like, you know, stuff that we learned that's keeping us or repressing, like, anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, whether it's religion or, you know, military stuff or teachings or whatever. But I just think that it just needs to be a little bit of consideration needs to be given. You know what I'm saying? Like one of the good readings, like, you know, if you're not a very religious person, is just taking some of the readings of Seneca, you know, on Stoicism and like, you know, kind of just understanding them and then kind of like, you know, try a little bit of it. You'll see that your life is a lot different and you'll be a lot happier probably. I mean, that's what I hear.
Yeah. Word on the street has it. Right.
Yeah. I heard it from a friend of mine told me.
Wow, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
But for those who are listening, one of the things that I want people to take away from this show segment is simply understanding that your thoughts are not necessarily the right thoughts. Engage with someone who may not necessarily share your view. Listen to them. Allow them to listen to you. So that maybe, just maybe, you can come to some kind of understanding of one another. I think that's important in a civilized society. And hopefully we'll push the envelope further.
Yeah.
What about you, Ray, man?
I would say, what would I say? I'm sorry. Kind of like lost my thought. Same thing. Kind of right on what you're saying. I would just say, you know, with the whole social injustices and people just misunderstanding, I think we need to go back to, I don't know if it's going back to basics, just trying to take the time to listen to one another and consider what's going on based upon each other's experiences or trying to learn and understand each other's experiences and making choices based upon that, as opposed to just going ahead and making irrational snap decisions. And I know, and I just got a thing from our producer, like, somebody on here is saying that we're jumping all over the place, but I don't know what part of it that we missed. I think we did hit on social injustice and why. I hope that we did. And if not, then they can, you know, they can write to us or whatever and tell us. But I think that it just comes down to just taking the time to listen and consider other people's experiences empathetically.
Right.
And then, you know, making a decision based upon that. Like, don't make snap decisions because that's when, like, everybody loses. You're not going to win because you lose from, like, a very good human experience from another person's perspective, and you lose by not growing as a human being from that.
That part.
So I just think that that's just giving that consideration. And, like, you know, try not to, you know, go out there and just hurt people just because you can or you think that it's cool or you're taking advantage of a situation like, oh, shit, it's a demonstration. Let's go blow some shit up and, like, break shit. And it's really, we don't need to do that. We don't.
No. Uh-uh.
You know what I'm saying?
Man.
I'm sure.
A nice bubble bath and some scented candles. We're going to be okay.
There's forms for that. We don't need to do that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Because you if know. Somebody starts shooting bows and arrows and running over your grandfather or running over your kids and family, like, it's going to be a whole different world.
It's a whole different one.
And nobody.
I want to bring attention to my man Joyner Lucas. He has a video out called "I'm Not Racist." I want everyone to check that out. It's a pretty good video. And I want you to see it from beginning to end. It's a very interesting perspective where you have two different sides, two different views, and then there's an aha moment in the video. And I want y'all to check it out. Again, it's Joyner Lucas, and the song is called "I'm Not Racist."
Is it on YouTube? Is it out on YouTube?
Yeah. Yeah, man.
So maybe OSD. We could add the link at the bottom in the comments. Like, maybe we'll add that in the comments. And then, you know, people can just, like, click on it or whatever.
Okay.
And we can just go from there. So, yeah, so that's all I got. And, I mean, that's all,
that's all I got.
And I would say read the books. What was the book? I forgot what the book was called. New Slavery. I forget what it was called. Oh, no.
Huh?
Oh, yeah, Worse Than Slavery.
Yes, Worse Than Slavery.
Order from Amazon. It's a really, really good book. And, you know, I'll add another one. There's another one called The Birth Dearth. It's expensive on Amazon. You might have to find it through another bookseller. I want to check that out on stuff that's
What's
going on and check out. Huh?
What was it called?
Talks about eugenics
okay.
and all kind of stuff like that. And, you know, look at and listen to some of the stuff that Jane Elliott is saying. And Malina Abdullah, she's head over the Black Lives Matter organization. And, you know, I'll leave you guys with that. And then, you know,
and there it is.
From there.
Yeah, man.
All right.
And
so
we
be
out.
Safe out there. Don't forget the COVID is still out there. So wear your mask.
Man.
And hand sanitizers and all that stuff, and keep
stay away
family
from the
safe.
Package.
And, that's all I got. And until tomorrow, we're gonna double down on episodes. We got a special guest. So yeah, we'll be talking to you guys then.
And there it is. Peace.
And we out.